You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, if we don't figure something out soon, the day the music stopped will be here in a couple of weeks. We'll talk World Music Day with someone who knows how to keep music alive. Manny the Movie Guy explains Inside Out to you. Jimmy Olsen from Smallville joins us live to talk about his tough guy role in a new TV series. And we're pretty sure Dad doesn't really want what you bought him for Father's Day. Let's meet the friends. When it comes to producing the show and sitting at the microphone, she is money. Brooke Peterson is here.
Hey, Phil. After 86 years, some change is coming to your pocket. I'll tell you what it is.
He's got a way of getting under your skin and staying there. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Thanks, Phil, for having me. Hey, fighting over the remote is about to get, really scary.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. If you do that, you're helping the show, actually, because the folks at iTunes read your comments and they notice your five-star reviews. Was that passive-aggressive? Five-star reviews. Thank you. Let's get started on the program. Always great to see you in the studio here, Brooke. And, wow, so much to talk about today. And what about my pocketbook? What's changing?
Well, I am particularly excited about this little headline story. We are going to have a woman represented finally on some paper money in our pockets.
Whoa, see, we talked about that some weeks ago, that it was being bounced around. But now it's
official.
It's official.
They are going to make a decision by the end of the year.
So Katy Perry?
I'm thinking J-Lo.
Really? Okay. No. Come on.
Sure. It's Stefani.
Somebody historic, right?
Yeah, well, officially the person chosen does have to be dead. That is the only requirement. Cannot be a living person. So, of course, they're tossing around the usual suspects. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt, Harriet Tubman, Amelia Earhart is one of my personal favorite heroes.
Yeah.
But I think Eleanor, personally, as far as, you know, being represented on currency, she was a rock star, man.
Yeah, I think so. She probably would be a front runner.
Yeah.
Rosa
Parks, of course.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Well,
what about
else?
What's
Susan
her name
Anthony.
Was on a? Yeah, she's on a coin, right?
She was.
And like Sacagawea.
Yep.
So yeah, Sacagawea can suck it.
Yeah.
She's already on a coin.
Well, nobody wanted the coins because they all looked like quarters, and they were unknowingly spending a dollar when they thought they were spending a quarter.
Right.
It was a big mess.
And so people can't figure out how to make change anyway, so that just threw everything off.
I can't even recognize our currency anymore. Truly, I look at a nickel now, and it looks. What is that? What's on this quarter? I don't understand. What are they doing with
Gonzo,
the money?
Gonzo, it's okay.
Well, see, I think this is interesting because all the men on the currency, if I'm not mistaken, are all men from political circles.
Right, which is why I think Eleanor is probably more appropriate.
Right, but is it necessary, though? Because if you think about it, I mean, there are some great women of history, some mm-hmm. of them authors.
Sure, yeah.
Right? I mean, think of a great author that would make a lot of sense.
Maya Angelou.
And she's dead.
She is now officially dead. She can be considered. But, like, what about, you know, they were talking about the first female scientist whose name escapes me now, but they are looking at different, I guess, fields of study and influence.
Right. Okay. But people will never agree on this. I mean, this is the sort of thing.
But you can vote. They are looking for votes.
How?
And you can go to, well, if you have a Twitter account, there's a hashtag the new 10, 10 the number, the new 10, and you can go there and have your say.
Who's
in
looking
the American
at that?
Way.
Is the Treasury or whoever it is behind this looking at that hashtag?
That is what I am. Yes.
That's what you've gleaned.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Right.
All right.
You sound so much smarter.
We're totally getting Wonder Woman on the new 10.
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. All right. Now, Katy Perry's still alive. Gonzo, don't get any ideas.
Okay.
All right. But you know what? Sometimes if you eat the fast food, it'll kill you.
Oh, man. This is gross. Fast food. Why do people still eat fast food when these stories keep surfacing every, like, 2 weeks?
Because it's good.
It's tasty.
No, it is not good.
It's so good.
And what if you were eating a rat, Gonzo? What if you're chomping down into what you think is a tasty little nugget, and you look down and you see this long 6-inch tail dangling from this fried mass of
Did that
whatever.
Happen?
Yes, it did.
For reals?
Happen. For reals. It happened here in California, by the way. So look out, fellas.
I don't know. If you're hungover enough, even deep fried rat sounds pretty good.
Really?
Especially today in particular, actually. He who jokes confesses is all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I have a theory. I want to hear what happened with the rat first, but I have a theory about which animals we eat and why.
Well, this person, let's see if I pronounce this, Devarice Dixon, here in California, took some Facebook pictures of what he was eating at this local Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
And it looks suspiciously just like a deep fried rat. You have the little snout in the front and this long tail in the back. And he was just like, whoa, shows it to the manager there. And she apparently was like, oh, so sorry. Here, have a free meal. And he's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Goes home, posts these Facebook pictures. Kentucky Fried Chicken, of course, is trying to talk to him and figure out what this actually was. Because, of course, they're like, no way was this a rat. But he won't talk to them. He won't, even through his lawyer, he's having no
communication. Oh, his lawyer probably told him to be quiet until we figure out, hey, can we charge at the door for people to come see this?
Right. See the amazing deep fried rat.
But if you won't let them test the thing to figure out the truth, then what are they supposed to do about it? Yeah. I think they should sue him for slander.
I think so. But here are the rules, just so you know. These are the rules here in America, at least, when it comes to eating animals.
Yes.
We don't eat cute animals.
No.
Okay, people look at you and they want you to go to jail if you eat a cute, if you eat a dog
as
or a cat,
should.
Right, or a bunny.
Absolutely.
You know, even though they sell that you can eat rabbits at certain restaurants,
bunny
right?
is delicious.
Yeah,
it really is.
But I mean, we're eating cute bunnies. I don't. So this is the one anomaly in my theory. But we don't eat cute animals.
No.
We don't. We eat ugly animals.
Yes.
Okay. But we don't eat gross-looking animals.
Correct. Or animals known to frequent sewers and other...
See, now the anomaly on that is we do eat alligator.
We do?
Well, if you've ever been to a Cajun restaurant, they were more than likely serve alligator.
Alligator.
I've had it, and it sure is tasty.
Is it?
But that's a gross-looking sewer dwelling.
It really is.
If you're in parts of New Orleans, they actually have alligators in the sewer.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Probably Florida, too.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They got gators everywhere in Florida.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my theory. Cute, ugly, and gross. Those are the three categories.
Wait.
All right. So enough of you. Gonzo.
that's my law firm.
Cute, ugly, and gross.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to you say we're going to start fighting over the remote.
Everybody. Yeah. You fight over the remote, right? And I think it's about to get very scary because we're taking it to a psychic level. The people at the BBC have come up with a way that you can control your television using your mind.
Oh, how is that possible?
Yeah, you telepathically look at the thing and I want to watch this show, and that show comes on, apparently. The BBC has unveiled a prototype of their mind control TV. And it enables people to watch a version of the BBC's video on demand service they called iPlayer. So apparently, if you look at the screen and you concentrate on the, you know, like the menu on your cable thing. You know, you look at the channel, I'm like, I want to watch that channel. And I guess if you think really, really hard, that channel will pop up.
How?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is it like the Xbox controller where you can kind of make the menu move by moving your controller?
Yeah, better. You wear a giant thing on your head so you look like Magneto. So you have this brainwave receiver on your head, and it's attached to your forehead, and I guess it analyzes your brainwaves, your EEG, while you're watching the television, and that transmits it to the remote.
All right, so. red flag, Gons. This is what's happening here. All right, it's like a crack dealer. They get you hooked on all the fun stuff that you can do with this enormous helmet on by changing the channels and calling up programming with your mind.
Right. Okay. Not ever leaving the sofa ever.
Yeah. You get used to that and you love it. And then they say, so now that your neck and shoulders are sore from the weight of that heavy helmet that allows you to control things with your mind, what if you could ditch the helmet and with this little chip implanted under your skin can do all of that and more?
Oh, yeah, you totally want the chip. Yeah, I'll put the chip in me. Come on, bring
it. But then what happens when you get the chip? Don't get the chip, because then, Gonzo, you are susceptible to becoming a drone to your government.
Resist
the TV starts telling you what you like. That's what it does. You think you like the show, but it's actually telling you that you like that show.
Right, right.
Or does the channel just randomly change to, you know, like you're watching sports and it just randomly switches over to The Bachelorette. I'm like, I wasn't thinking that. Yeah. I was watching the game, man.
And it's like, yes, you
wait till all the people sitting in their easy chair who are still freaking out, believing that the Social Security card is a national ID card. Now wait till they get a hold of this. Right? Then what? Then what?
Channel just automatically switches to Drag Race. All I'm like, yeah, no, I was watching the game. Seriously, guys. I wasn't thinking about
RuPaul.
That is,
it'd be like a truth teller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you really want to see.
Okay. Now, what do you really want when it comes to the internet and the rules that you and everybody else play by while you're playing there on your little computer? And yes, we don't want to know what you're doing when you're playing with your computer. But when we come back, we're going to hear all about and how you can suggest what goes into a Magna Carta for the internet. And that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Oh, hi, how are you? It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. So glad you joined us today. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here. Brooke Peterson is here. I'm Phil. And it's a great day because there's some kind of history attached to today. First of all, today is New Year's Day on Mars. Did you know that? It takes 687 days, as opposed to our 365 here on Earth, for Mars to fully orbit the sun. So today is New Year's Day, and the next New Year's there won't occur until May 5th, 2017.
So it's like the Mars rover up there, like totally hungover right now. It was laying on the couch watching the Rose Parade.
NASA party hat.
No, that was me this year.
Yes. But today is also an important distinction for the amount of time that we've been enjoying the World Wide Web. Is that correct, Gonzo?
Let's say actually Monday officially was like when the web started, right? Wasn't it 15th of June?
Well, again, not the internet, but the way that we interconnect on the and know it at the modern World Wide Web.
Yeah,
right?
25th anniversary of the World Wide Web coincides weirdly with 800 years since the signing of the Magna Carta.
Ooh.
Now, kids, do we know what the Magna Carta is?
It's a cool band.
The original Magna Carta totally rocked. It's signed between King John of England and his subjects on the 15th of June in 1215, establishing that no monarch was above the law.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an early European version of the Bill of Rights, essentially.
Yeah.
And so it's being talked about now, since this coincides with the start of the internet, to have a Magna Carta for the digital age, for the internet, as it were.
It's a great idea.
And there's a lot of discussion on the internets about this, and some of the things that we want would be, and here's a few of them, not let companies pay to control it, not let governments restrict our right to information, allow freedom of speech, be free from government censors in all countries. A lot of anti-censorship language in here.
I can distill that down for you. We can use three words, and the Magna Carta will be complete. Don't bother me. Right?
Leave me alone.
You know?
Can we also add don't judge me by my browser history?
Oh, yeah. Well,
don't judge me.
I think that qualifies under the same three words.
Right. Yeah. You were looking at what?
Yeah.
Right. For how long?
I was doing research, to quote Peter Townsend.
Right. Or either that, or I was looking at Martha Stewart make a hammock for a cat.
Yeah, right.
That's also possible. But
cat hammock.
Right.
Wow. Oh, speaking of that, hang on a second. Cat hammock. Wait a minute. Hang on. I've got something here.
Does this go somewhere?
It goes somewhere. Give me a second here.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait.
Sounds like it can't go anywhere good.
Okay. I've got it. Scientists have finally figured out why we're obsessed with cat videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Scientists at Indiana University, they had people assess their moods before they watched a few cat videos on YouTube and then assess their moods after. And once people had watched a few of these cat videos, they felt happier, more energetic, more positive, less anxious, and less annoyed. They also didn't feel any guilt over procrastinating for the sake of cat videos. and those are a lot of the same results we get from actually being with a cat and petting it. So the researchers think this all translates over the internet, and that's why we love watching cats online.
So you can say to your boss with no guilt that you were watching cat videos because they're cat. It's science.
Yes.
Right?
In fact, if you get everybody into the conference room and put cat videos up on the projection wall, it would be a team building exercise. By the way, cat videos get more average views than any other type of videos on YouTube. There were more than 2 million cat videos uploaded last year, and they got almost 26 billion views.
But why cats? Why not dogs?
Because dogs don't do the same thing for you.
They do more.
Well, in the videos, that is. And besides, dogs, generally speaking, cannot play tetherball with each other.
Don't freak out over a laser pointer nearly as well.
Yeah. No.
I've never been a cat video person.
Yeah.
Got to get something about cats in the internet Magna Carta there.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a whole mashup of cats in Jurassic World now. If you want to check that out on a quick search on the internet, we'll turn that up.
No kidding.
They put cats in where the dinosaurs are attacking people and eating people and stuff, except it's like a giant cat chasing the people, you know.
Sounds fun.
It is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Hey, one more internet-related thing. You know who Hormel is, right? That's the company that makes Spam.
Yes.
Delicious Spam.
Oh, gosh. Fried Spam. The Spam musubi.
Really?
You ever have that? Put the Spam with the rice and you roll it up in the seaweed like it's... you know what I'm talking about?
Boys.
Like it's a one of them sushi things, but it's got Spam in there. Spam.
The Moco Loco Hawaii, the Hawaiian egg Spam and rice burger muffin sandwich thing you have for breakfast.
It's so not good for you, but it's so delicious. Anyway, the people at Hormel, they hate that junk email is called Spam. So no one in the company is allowed to call it that. They're all supposed to call it unwanted email.
So you don't have a spam.
Nearly as fun.
You don't have a spam folder at Spam.
No, you have to rename that folder.
You need to have a one-syllable word for it. You can't do unwanted email.
All mail at Hormel goes to the spam folder.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, John Q. Smith at spam.com.
Right.
Oh, that's clearly it's spam.
Yeah. I know it. Oh, okay. A medical advancement here. We were talking about the chip under your skin for the remote control. Now, that's not a medical advancement. But this, when it comes to soldiers going to war and then coming back, is something else. I don't know that it's possible, but please, Brooke, explain it.
Yeah, so there is this possibility that researchers are developing a vaccine for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow.
As in a preventative measure to, you know, help people not develop PTSD. And so what they're saying, or what the route they're following here is through their immune system. They are saying that if you are injected with a certain type of bacterium and that modulates your immune system, it basically helps your body cope and deal with stress. So where it doesn't, I guess, basically leave the imprint that it would if you didn't have this bacterium.
No kidding.
So can we get something like this before we go to the DMV?
Oh, yeah.
That would be helpful.
How great
probably.
Would that be?
You just can't hurt.
Safe. Yeah, get your inoculation before you go to the DMV and you just roll in and go,
Yeah, you know,
this
in this, our first world problems, all the things that traumatize us because, you know, we're
it's just, a stressful world.
We're just so wimpy these days. We get stressed out about all sorts of things. And I don't mean to compare that to the horrors of war, but we do. I mean, we're just sissies these days. So should we all get inoculated for stress?
Absolutely. Stress, they say, is something wrong with you? It's probably stress. It's probably stress. I mean, how many
I think
times
they've already
that?
Invented. Yeah, they've invented this vaccine already. It's called marijuana.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hey, man.
You know what? Our grandfathers are still scoffing at us, right? And our great grandfathers, those who went through World War II.
Back in my day.
And you never heard anything about PTSD. I mean, they just bottled up their memories and their
tight-lip
emotions about what they saw and experienced in war, because war is hell. And back then, the weapons were a great deal messier than the high-tech weapons that we have today. And so I'm sure they saw some pretty brutal stuff and somehow held their lives together. They sucked it up and they continued on with life. These days, we immediately press the I don't know if we do or not, but it seems like we immediately go to that victim folder and press the woe is me button and look for somebody to help us.
Well, it is a curious difference, because back then everything was bottled up, like you said, and they did not speak about it, like my grandfather. But then, you know, they lived long, healthy lives, most of them. I think there's still some veterans from World War II living now.
Do I sound like I'm denying that PTSD exists? No,
no.
I'm not.
Some of these guys are pretty good drinkers, though, you got to say.
Yeah. Mm. Well, see, there's that. I mean, why do we have alcohol after all? Doesn't necessarily taste that great.
I enjoy it.
We've tricked ourselves into enjoying it. Hey, one thing we do enjoy is the movies. And careful heading to the theater this weekend, because your hair might catch fire. A red-hot review, or two, or three, from Manny the Movie Guy. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Enjoy the music, won't you? All right, it's fun time. Time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. Joining us live is the one, the only movie reviewer at KMIR-TV Palm Springs, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. Nobody else, let me tell ya.
That's quite a distinction. And you're on this program, which makes it even better.
There you go.
Hey, Manny, a couple of wide-release movies this weekend. The big one looks to me to be that animated flick, Inside Out. Any good?
That's right. Well, you know what? Let me just start by saying it's good news.
Ooh.
Box office.
Oh, good.
Yes. Inside Out, you know, Pixar has lately been kind of hit, more miss than hit, really. They haven't done any great film since Up, in my humble opinion. Well, let me tell you that Inside Out is their best film since, well, Up.
Yeah, Up is awesome.
That's right. And it's just like Up. This one is tender and moving and is brilliantly, brilliantly created and crafted. Of course, the inner workings of the human psyche is explored in Inside Out. Now, if you think that that's too boring or high-minded for an animated film, you're absolutely wrong. Inside Out is one of the best movies I've seen this year. Not just animated movie, but movie in general.
Better than Spy?
Oh, well, it's right up there along with Spy.
Okay.
The intricate story centers around Riley. When her family moves from the Midwest to San Francisco, emotional conflict erupts. Her emotions, of course, are represented by joy, voiced by Amy Poehler, fear with Bill Hader, anger with Lewis Black, disgust with Mindy Kaling, and the outcast of them all, sadness, voiced by Phyllis Smith. I love, 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 love this film. It's smart, moving, and brilliantly crafted, even though some very, very, very little kids may be lost in some of the psycho babble. But have no fear, they will be delighted with the gorgeous animation. And Inside Out gets my perfect score of 4.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yes.
How about that? Now does Diane Lane play hot, nasty, naked lady thoughts? Because she's one of the voices in there, too.
You wish, but this is rated PG, so no hot, nasty.
No? When did she get into this voicing animated movies deal?
I was also surprised when I found out it was Diane Lane who was voicing it when I saw it.
She's the one from Under the Tuscan Sun, and I can't help but point out her acting technique in Unfaithful was unforgettable.
And it was Academy Award nominated, and of course all the films that he starred in with the fantastic Richard Gere as well.
Yeah.
She's amazing. amazing in this film. But of course, I mean, you know, moms are rarely given some star credit for her animated films. It's normally the fun characters, you know.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Now, the other movie, I don't even know who's in this movie. It's called Dope, and it's for the kids, isn't it? Like the high school kids.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? Honestly, Dope is it's really for everybody. Everybody who loves a great movie. There's no big name star in this one, except perhaps for one of the producers, Forrest Whitaker, who doesn't appear on the film. He narrates the movie.
Oh.
And this one is a Sundance winner. It's a big Sundance winner. It's written and directed by Rick Famuyiwa, who based the film on his own experiences. Dope is funny, heartfelt, provocative, and it's one of those rare cinematic treasures that exceeds all your expectations. If you're, you know, if you're basing your wanting to see a movie based on a trailer, don't be fooled. I mean, Dope is bigger and stronger than what the trailer could show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the heart of the film is the fantastic Shameik Moore. He's Malcolm, a self-described geek in Englewood who loves 90s rap and sings in a punk band with his best friend Jib, played by Tony Revolori. You may remember him as the sidekick in the Grand Budapest Hotel. And my favorite, Biggie, a tough-as-nails lesbian played by Kiersey Clemons.
Hmm.
I love the song. Dope perfectly blends comedy and drama with an explosive soundtrack by Pharrell Williams. It's a thought-provoking and entertaining tale about growing up and fitting in, and Dope also gets my perfect 4 out of 4.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, good. Now, we have a new category in acting that you just coined there, tough-as-nails lesbian.
I really, you know, honestly, I really want to say butch lesbian.
Yeah. But you don't. And so when the audition call comes out, they say, they don't say we're looking for a butch. They say we're looking for a tough-as-nails lesbian.
Right. You know what? It's so funny. When I interviewed them, I told them that try as I may, I could never be butch.
Yeah.
And so they made me do some butch stuff, and it was so funny.
Oh, man. Is that available at MannyTheMovieGuy.com?
Up right now on MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Great segue there, Mr. Phil.
I got to go watch it. Beautiful. Always great to hear from you, and we'll... oh, by the way, before I let you go, the dinosaur movie just set all kinds of records at the box office,
didn't
it?
It exceeded expectations by industry experts. They were all predicting 120. It became the number one biggest opener of all time, beating even the Avengers.
Wow. What did it do, $200 million the first
210.
Weekend?
210.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
$210 million.
I know somebody who says it was terrible.
Well, my daughter went to see it. She liked it.
Really?
She said, you've got to go see it.
Well, this guy he's pretty hardcore.
Right. It's not a thinking movie, you know, of course. It's like a theme park.
Yeah.
Just going to the theme park, forget everything, just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, it's like, okay, why would you have dinosaurs in a theme park? Okay, fine, we don't understand, but it's a good movie. And then everybody gets eaten, and you go home.
What was your score on that, Manny, last week? What did you give it?
I gave it three.
Three okay.
I enjoyed it. And you know what? Honestly, I mean, I grew up loving all this B-movie, giant monster stuff. And Jurassic Park is right along with them, right?
Yeah.
And it's entertaining. This one paid homage to the original Jurassic Park, and that's why I absolutely enjoyed it.
And I love your French accent there. Homage. That's the way to say it. Paid homage to. All right.
Oui.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Manny the Movie Guy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Guys, think for a moment about life without music. No music to listen to, no music to play, no kids learning the recorder. Okay, fine. We could live without that.
That's
see,
awful.
There are positive.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But you know, the piano, the guitar, the trumpet. I mean, some of these kids, they learn it real good and they grow up to make beautiful music. And it's a pretty bleak scenario, at least for me, a world without music.
Me
and
too.
Maybe it is for you too. Okay, good. Yeah. June 21st, this coming Sunday, is World Music Day. And we're going to see what we can do together to keep music alive. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends at .com, and you're at our website where you can enjoy all sorts of things. Go to the show fun page, go to the how to listen page where you can actually learn how to watch the show when we're doing it live. Can you imagine that? That's a mixture of concepts there, listening and watching. Do two things at once. Now, before the break, I talked about what a world without music would be like, and it seems like a ridiculous notion, actually, but music struggles to survive for many reasons. In honor of World Music Day, June 21st, just a couple of days from now, we're going to learn more about what we can do together to keep music alive. And joining us live is the author of the book, 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life, Vincent James. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good afternoon, Phil. How are you doing?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here, sir. Now, World Music Day is a relatively new thing, isn't it?
To me, it is, actually. I only learned about it a couple of years ago. And I guess back in around 1982 is when it was first formally launched in France, is where it came out of. And what I found interesting was it was actually an American who was over there in the 70s, Joel Cohen, who had spent some time producing radio programs. And he had the idea of having this World Music Day, celebrating music on the summer solstice. And I think the concept percolated over there in France for a few years before they finally launched the formal version of it in 1982.
So what is it exactly then? What happens on World Music Day?
So on that day, basically they invite musicians of all kinds and all genres, amateurs, professionals, children up to beyond retirement age, to go out and perform music out in public in various places, whether it's in parks, plazas, coffee houses, malls, any place where public gathers. And what I think is really interesting about that is kind of harkens back to the old days before we had TV and radio and, of course, the Internet. When if you wanted to hear music at all, how did you get to hear it? You had to hear it live in person. This is kind of like a reawakening of that concept.
Right. Okay. And so let's discuss some of the issues that exist when it comes to music. First of all, with all the cuts in educational budgets at the schools are still struggling to keep music instruction going. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes. You know, I mean, even before the recession hit, I think music and arts were slowly taking a hit in the school budgets around the country. And in many parts of the world. And then when the recession hit several years ago, I think that really magnified it. And in some communities, in some areas of the country, are being hit worse than others.
Yeah, and this people may not remember what life was like before all the cuts hit, when it seemed like it cost $10 to run a school. When I was in the second grade, the teacher one day said, "Hey, everybody, here's a piece of paper," and they used that purple Ditto stuff that they used to...
The mimeograph.
There, yeah. Exactly. That stuff that we used to love smelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'd hand that out, and they say, "Okay, take this home to Mom and Dad and talk it over with them, and here's a list of musical instruments, and you tell us tomorrow which one you'd like to learn how to play." And then it'd come back tomorrow, and my selection was the trombone for no particular reason.
Yay.
Is that what you play?
It is what I play.
How about that? And with a name like Vincent as well. So there's a trombone reference in there somewhere for you bone players. You know what I'm talking about. And so we showed up, and they had a whole bunch of instruments, and they said, "Here you go, pick one." And that's what I did, and I got to live with that trombone for the duration of the semester. And we would get together and kind of in a chamber orchestra style all learn how to play. And I'm sure it sounded terrible, but some of us went the extra mile and actually hired an instructor who would either come to your house or you'd go to their house and you'd learn how to play. And I got damn good at the trombone. And it changed my life, really, because now I got to perform with the bands and orchestras and all that sort of thing. And it opened up a lot of doors for me. And not only that, maybe a person or two enjoyed some of the noise that was coming out of the bell on that trombone from time to time.
I'm sure there were at least a few.
Yeah. So that doesn't happen anymore. You're more or less on your own when you go to school if you want to learn a musical instrument. Isn't that right?
In many places, that is absolutely true. And that's, to me, very disheartening.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, attitudes seem to be changing now that we've stopped buying physical media for music,
yes.
like a CD,
yes.
or even an MP3 for that matter. More and more people simply stream their music on an ad-supported website like YouTube or maybe Pandora. Now, what is that doing for attitudes?
Oh, I think what it's doing is it's devaluing music. I mean, kids growing up today, they can listen to any song they want as often as they want and not have to part with any money to do so. Whereas when we were kids, I had to use my allowance money and my paper route money and, you know, put that up on the counter and exchange that for something physical. So I valued music. It meant something more to me. Whereas I think kids today growing up are going to take music much more for granted, which I think in the long run is going to hurt, the songwriters and the artists.
Yeah, so when you take the music out of the equation, what ultimately does happen to the artists and the writers?
Well, they'll cease to have careers that they can continue creating new music. And so what I think what will happen is the quality of new music down the road is going to go down the tubes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so people might learn on their own, and it ends up being just kind of a hobby, and you'll hear music on amateur night as opposed to at a... When all the professional paid artists die away, then you'll just have the guy up the street and, hey, he's playing on the corner now with a bucket, and you could drop a coin in there, right?
I love that guy with a bucket, though. He is good.
Yeah.
I mean, for a bucket, it's hard to find somebody who's really good on the bucket.
That's true. The guys that play the drums on the bucket over at the Venice Pier, they're not bad. Now, how do you counteract that disconnected relationship music consumers have with the process these days? Is there a way to do it, Vincent?
I think we're definitely struggling with that, and myself included. I mean, the ship has set sail on the whole music streaming business model. I mean, that's not going away. And I'm, a huge fan of technology and everything it brings us. But I think somehow we have to find a way to build into that streaming model ways so that people that are consuming music value it, more than they will if everything's free.
What is Keep Music Alive?
Keep Music Alive is a mission that my wife and I started last summer to help raise the awareness of how important music is in all of our lives. The educational value that we alluded to earlier, the therapeutic value. I mean, music is used in so many different types of therapy today for children and adults to help improve the results that are gotten.
Tell us about your book, 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life. And, oh, by the way, it's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. I do encourage everybody to buy it. But tell us about it. What can we learn from your book?
Well, I had this crazy idea about 9 months ago that I wanted to find another way to get this word out about music. So I thought, why not a book of inspirational music stories and quotes and reach out to the world, musicians, music teachers, and music fans all over the world to try to get the best, inspirational stories that we could find and share them with everyone so that to help the readers of the book try to, remember and reconnect with why music was so important to begin with.
Yeah, that's a worthy cause. And there's a donation program associated with the book?
Yes. What we're doing is 50% of the gross proceeds that come in are being donated to nonprofits that themselves donate music instruments and music lessons to schools and communities in need. And the three that we have lined up for the first round is going to be Mr. Holland's Opus, Spirit of Harmony, which is Todd Rundgren's foundation, and Guitars in the Classroom, which is a great organization out of California that actually reaches out across the country and touches many communities.
And how do people get involved in this? Do they go to keepmusicalive.org?
Keepmusicalive.org is where the parade starts, Phil.
Okay.
Ooh, there's a parade.
Parade, yeah. Everybody loves a parade. Right?
Of course, yeah. You're smart to do it that way. Good marketing.
Well, what we have there now, we're actually starting to look for our story search for Volume 2 of 88 Plus Ways. But we will be launching a full portal there on July 1st where we'll have a lot of music resources and therapy resources with music and education and also, ways where people can submit their story for the next volume.
Good. And for World Music Day, which is this coming weekend, June first. There's more information at makemusicday.org, which apparently is the alternate name. Those French can't go with a name and stick with it.
That really did confuse me as well. Why do we have two names? But, you know, what are we going to do?
Yeah, it must be a French thing. But just the same, keepmusicalive.org is the more important one to take away from this conversation. And we have that link on our links page at Phil Hewlett and Friends. And we just hope for a day when all the kids in school have a chance to learn how to play an instrument. And that way, the generations will continue. I don't know how we're going to address the economics of music, the way technology is, has almost turned the old way into the horseshoe guy. Right. That, you know, that guy's out of work now that we have cars with rubber tires on them. But progress is a difficult thing, and we'll figure something out. But just the same, life without music is a bad life. And so let's keep this thing going. Agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Vincent James, again, 88 plus ways music can change your life, and keepmusicalive.org. Do them all often. Thank you, Vincent. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Phil. And you guys have a great afternoon.
All right. Thank you. You too. There you go. So, what did we do well?
Do you still play the trombone? Can you play now?
I actually have not played it in a long time.
Do you have one?
I had my original trombone that I paid
for. Is it rusty? I'm sorry. I've been sitting on that all
the time.
It actually was corroded. I sold it for more money than what I paid for it. I bought it from a music band director, for $50 back in the day, and I sold it for $75.
Well, there you go. Right. Businessman.
But that was 2 years ago, and it's been up in the attic forever, and you cannot not play the trombone for 20 years and then pick it up and start playing again because your lips, the armature, it's the stiffness that builds around your lips and the interactivity between your lips, your teeth, and your tongue sounds like the introduction to a porno movie, but it's not. you have to have all of that in shape in order to play, and once you lose that, you can't do it. I still remember the how to slide to the
why
notes.
Why the trombone? How'd you choose that?
I have no idea. My dad played the tuba.
Really?
Yes.
I have never understood why anybody would choose the tuba.
Me neither.
Lugging it around alone is enough for me.
For some people, I don't know, subconsciously size matters, and they go straight for the largest instrument possible.
With the biggest bell.
Yeah. Okay. And so, but anyway, I enjoyed that. And I, like I said, it opened a lot of doors for me, and I got to play in a lot of places, including a backyard beer party rock and roll band.
Fun.
Yeah. How about that?
My brother was a trumpet player. I remember that growing up. That was pretty cool.
How about you, Gonzo? What did you play?
I was going to play the drums because I got that thing from school, and I picked drums, and the guy says, oh, drums are great. You got to be good at math. I'm like, okay.
What?
Math.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why did you say that? I'm out. No.
That's the music part. No, you have to be good at rhythm and doing things with your hands and your feet in a syncopated way and being able to keep track of it.
Right. Right. The rhythm in Caucasian didn't work for me.
So. Hey, that's it for hour one of the show. There's so much more to come, including certain Samsung smartphones are vulnerable to hackers. Maybe yours is one of those models. And restaurants actually, I don't know, are they better if you don't have to tip your server? And the seven animals that are most likely to kill you this summer. Those stories and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour It's official. You've been throttled. We'll tell you which internet provider is in big trouble for this. You know him from Smallville, Veronica Mars, and more. The star of a new sci-fi channel series joins us live. We have friends. That's right. Brooke Peterson is here.
I'm a friend.
And Gonzo Greg Spillane is here.
I am? Oh, I am.
I'm Phil Hewlett, also here, present. And thanks for you being here today. We're all friends, right? So we can talk about things that friends talk about.
Ooh, fun.
And sometimes we do things in each other's company that we wouldn't do otherwise. Just the same, Brooke, let's get this hour started. And remember Brian Williams? Didn't he used to anchor the news on NBC?
Yeah, he was kind of a big deal once upon a time.
Sure, him and a smart guy. He does a good job, has a fairly crooked face, which makes him interesting to look at. But just the same.
Asymmetrical, Phil. Asymmetrical.
What's he doing these days?
Well, you know, I don't know what he's been doing since mid-February or so, but apparently he's coming back.
Really?
He is coming. Kinda. You know, he's not going to be sitting in the same chair he was sitting in before all this drama, but he will be staying at NBC, more specifically MSNBC, covering breaking news. It's a bit of a demotion, I'm sure. I'm trying to imagine what he must be feeling and thinking right now, this whole public spectacle.
He's probably in one of the stages, and at this point, he's probably at the stage, well, let me count my blessings. I'm still working.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. You know,
is he going to come on and, like, sell the Miracle Mop? He'll be like the new, you know, hey, it's called out. Three easy payments of $29.95. I'm Brian Williams. The Miracle Mop is amazing. It allows you to swat helicopters out of the sky.
Yeah.
No?
No. Maybe not. No.
Have you watched Lester Holt, though? Have you seen his replacement?
Yeah, Lester Holt is, in my opinion, awesome.
Yeah? Okay, good.
How about you?
Have I watched
it? I don't have TV.
Oh.
What?
That's right. Good for you.
I'm a radio man.
That's right. I don't believe in these moving pictures. What's I think is amazing, though, is the guy that has made this whole decision is running NBC News right now, this Andrew Lack guy.
Yeah.
He was at NBC back in the day when all the NBC News shows were on top, you know, Today and all of those shows. And he went away for a while and came back. They brought him back because, you know, NBC was so successful back in the day. But he's the guy that was running the ship. Do you remember when they did Dateline and they rigged a pickup truck to catch fire as part of that whole report on General Motors pickup trucks blowing up?
Right.
And so they got in all kinds of trouble for making this pickup truck blow up that didn't really.
Yeah.
So that may explain why Brian Williams isn't completely toast.
By the way, you mentioned the Today Show. He's hosting the Today Show tomorrow, so maybe... Oh, he's going to be a guest. He's not hosting. Okay. He's going to be a guest.
Yeah. I always liked him. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, it's TV news. You don't really believe it to begin with, do you?
It's just painful to watch the fall. It's like, oh, ow. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's painful to watch is this this dad was with his kid in the car, and then something bad happened.
Yeah. So this particular gentleman was pumping gas at a station in Georgia, and he had turned his back for just a minute. Next thing he knows... He sees his car driving away, and a teenager had jumped in the front seat and hijacked his car. I don't know if he knew it or not, but there was an 8-year-old boy in the back seat of this car, and the dad, Mr. Malcolm Malones, jumps on the floorboard. Floorboard? Sideboard?
The sideboard.
The sideboard, hanging on to the side of this car as he's driving away. He hangs on for a quarter of a mile, pounding on the glass, saying, "My son is in the back seat." And he eventually falls off and breaks his arm. But by him doing this, it gave his son the chance, because the driver was distracted, to jump out and, you know, save himself. And the kid, of course, luckily, did not hurt anything. But yeah, go dad.
Yeah, go dad.
Speaking of Father's Day, happy Father's Day, dad.
That's right. That is so right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to you, Phil.
Well, thank you very much.
Father of three.
A little later in the program, we're going to find out the things, Dad, the 11 things, Father's Day gifts, the top gifts ranked by how much dads actually want them.
My dad's going to love his gift. Aren't you, Dad? You're going to love it.
No, I don't know about that. I don't know. Hey, you ever see one of those Bounty Hunter TV shows?
I guess.
You know, what a gig, a bounty hunter, huh?
Well, that guy, what was that dude?
Dog. Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you grow up and your name is Dog. It just seems like you're going to end up being a bounty hunter. But anyway.
You're going to have to either be a complete tool or a bounty hunter or both.
Yeah, think of the danger, the drama, all of that stuff that comes with the gig. What if you were a bounty hunter in space?
Awesome.
Now, that's exactly the premise of a new show on the Sci-Fi Channel. And the star of the show, somebody you'll recognize immediately, joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Have you ever been to the Chumbivilcas province? The Chumbivilcas province.
Oh, all the time. Love it there.
It's in southwest Peru.
It's fabulous.
You're probably wondering why I'm bringing it up. The Chumbivilcas province. It's because they don't celebrate Christmas on December 25th. They're busy that day. On that day, they celebrate a holiday called Takanakui. It's where Takanakui.
Say that 10 times.
It's where you're legally allowed to have a fist fight with anyone you've had a problem with that year.
Best holiday ever.
It's in Peru on December 25th, so you can plan.
Surprised
for it.
It's like every day in Ireland.
Yeah, it's Takanakui. It's spelled T-A-K-A-N-A-K-U-Y. Am I pronouncing it right? Takanakui.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
And it usually begins with, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Exactly.
That's the official greeting that I'm going to give to you, Phil, on the 25th of December. I'm coming to Southern California. What are you looking at? No.
Hey,
and another thing.
Hey, Gons, have you ever traveled first class?
Look at me.
Yeah, all right. I have accidentally a couple of times. Where they said, you're traveling alone. We have a seat up in first class. You seem like a nice enough guy. Would you like to sit up there? And I say, okay,
I wasn't allowed in a bar on 2nd Street in Belmont Shore the other day because I wear a necklace that's a dog collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't allowed in. So they don't let me in first class.
There's something like first class now, but it's not the 20 grand that you pay to go from here to there, right?
Yeah, well, I fly JetBlue. Yeah. I kind of like the airline. It's low cost and it gets me where I want to go.
Leather but seats.
JetBlue has they have an upper tier airline called Mint. It's the same company apparently, but the fancy planes are Mint, and they are starting new flights from JFK to Los Angeles that have fully reclining seats.
Ooh.
So you can lay all the way down and actually conk out for that flight, which is usually. What, east to west? It's usually like, is that an 8-hour flight or six?
No, from New York to L.A., it's 5.5 to 6 hours.
5.5 hours, 6 hours. It's longer going back than it is going that way.
True.
But you can lay down and conk out for starting at just $600.
No kidding. I mean, you would pay almost that much just for a regular coach flight.
Yeah, the coach, like JetBlue for that flight is about $200 starting
right,
out.
Right, but if you buy United or Continental, something like that, it's going to be $450 to $650.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this, for $600, I guess you can lay down. They also have, there's like private cabins, I think, as well as what
I'm in.
I understand.
I am in.
Sounds pretty outstanding because we just, you know, air travel is just descended into disgustingness. It's,
right.
It's a bus in the sky and it's awful.
Yeah. Well, I like this. Way to go, JetBlue and Mint. Hey, I want to talk some TV. Well, as provided I can continue to talk.
Talking requires
I'm choking
talking.
Up. Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a new original series on the Sci-Fi Channel. They spell it funny over there, S-Y-F-Y, Sci-Fi. It's just easy for you to remember that way. And the new show is called The Killjoys, And one of the stars of the program is Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen from Smallville. Remember him? It's Aaron Ashmore. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the program.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. And you don't mind the Jimmy Olsen reference, do you?
Not at all. No, that was a big, a really big role for me to play. And it's, you know, it was on a really popular show, so it does stick with you for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? There's kind of a thread here. I mean, the geeks love Smallville. They also love Veronica Mars. You were on that. You're on Sci-Fi's Warehouse 13. And you're wrapping up a feature film with Ethan Hawke and Emma Watson. Isn't that right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I actually finished it last year, but it's just coming out now. You know, and these things sometimes take a long time to come out. But yeah, end of the summer, I believe August is when it comes out.
It's called Regression, and we look forward to seeing that. Now, when you played Jimmy Olsen, you were that gee whiz kid. And in Killjoys, you're a badass bounty hunter in space. So talk about that kind of acting
awesome.
Transition.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I played a lot of bullies and jocks and jerks and stuff like that. And playing Jimmy Olsen was sort of the first time I really played the, you know, G. Willikers, clean-cut sort of guy. So for me, it wasn't a huge step to kind of, you know, go into the bounty hunter phase. But I think for a lot of people that knew me from Smallville, that's, you know, a big jump. And I think that's the real goal is to have the audience believe, you know, when they know you so well for something, to buy into something else. So for me, it was fun. I love playing different things. And I think a sci-fi audience is smart, too. They think they can switch gears with you. So I'm really hoping that everybody digs it.
Yeah, that's good. So tell us more about your character and what we can expect in The Killjoys.
Well, The Killjoys is basically about a trio of intergalactic bounty hunters. And I know it's a very broad sort of thing, but that I think that really encapsulates the basic idea. My character is named John Jacoby. And in our world of bounty hunters in space, there's sort of five levels of Killjoys. And I'm a level three, five being the highest, one being low. So I'm sort of in the middle somewhere. I'm not super dangerous, but I definitely know my way around weapons and I can kick butt if I need to. But I think my character is also sort of, I wouldn't call him a pacifist, but I definitely think that he prefers to talk things out instead of, shoot first, ask questions later. So I think it's kind of an interesting character to be a bounty hunter because it's such a dangerous job, and he is willing to talk people down and talk things through. So it kind of makes for an interesting combination.
Yeah, I'll imagine if you're in space, what are we looking at here? Running laser gun battles, lightsaber fights?
Well, there's no lightsabers, but there's definitely laser guns, and there's also all sorts of other cool, futuristic gadgets that we get to track people down with and use. So, yeah, it is a lot of fun. So anybody who's into the real tech stuff and ideas of the future weapons.
Now, you're tracking, you say track people down. Are they indeed all people as we know them, humanoid, or are there other types of specimens that you have to track down?
Like a giant blob. We got to track down the giant blob guy.
Yeah.
Well, that would be too easy. They don't move too fast.
They don't move very fast, yeah.
No, so far in the first season anyways, it's completely humanoid. So, who knows if the show goes on for seasons, you know, that would be amazing. And who knows if you start to explore and find other aliens. But at this point, it's, for being a bounty hunter space show, it's fairly grounded in that respect.
Now, if I put myself in my geek shoes and I'm watching the show, okay, fine. I like all the special effects. I like the whole space scenario and all of that. But truly, the other level of entertainment I need as a geek is some sexual tension, because certainly I'm not getting any myself. So in your role here as John Jacoby, there's got to be some kind of love interest, right?
Are you out there kirking it up? Are you banging all over the galaxy?
Gonzo!
I will say that there's definitely some romance and definitely some sex in our show. I think that's a big part of it. I think that sexuality out in our universe is less maybe constricted. Like, I think it's just okay to be having sex with multiple partners. That seems to be at least the way of the Killjoys.
All right.
A little bit of that going on. Yes,
all right.
Certainly.
Now, marketing.
Does that answer your question?
Sure. Sex sells. It certainly does.
My favorite show. It's on now.
Yeah. No, when is it on exactly? This is debuting now pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah. Friday, June 19th, which is tomorrow, I believe at 9 o'clock Pacific and no, 9 o'clock Yeah, 9 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
Central. Oh, screw the time. Set your DVR and watch it when you feel like it. But
yeah, DVR 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi. Yeah, it'll DVR. I'll try to figure it out.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, good for you. Can't wait to watch it, and can't wait to watch when your movie Regression comes out. And just a pleasure to speak with you, Aaron Ashmore. It's not often we have big TV and movie stars on the program, and certainly you are one of them.
Well, I appreciate your time, and thanks for the interest, you guys.
All right. You're welcome. Okay. Watch the show tomorrow night on Sci-Fi. It's called The Killjoys, or is it just
like
called Killjoys? No, The.
I think it's The.
Is it The?
I believe. You know what? Oh, good question, Phil.
It's like...
I'm on it.
The Rolling Stones or Rolling Stones or Scorpions or The Scorpions, right?
Gonzo, anything?
The internet.
Yeah.
The internets.
The Twitter.
I'm seeing Killjoys without the.
Just Killjoys.
Just Killjoys.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds like a blast.
It does sound like a good show.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that. Hey, Gons, we were talking about Mint Air there a minute ago and airports. And I know you had some kind of weird thing they've got in Sweden at their airport there to tell us about. Can you explain?
Yeah, because, you know, like I was saying, air travel is just so hideous these days. And at least there's somebody trying to make it more I don't know what the point of this is, but the airport in Sweden in Stockholm, they have three pods there, pods that you can go inside of, and it will simulate the different climate from the city that you might be traveling to. So if you were traveling to, I don't know, say Las Vegas today, and you wanted to see what no humidity and 111 degrees feels like, you could step into this box, and it would provide that experience for you.
Now that just seems silly.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
But yet it exists. In Sweden, yeah.
Yeah.
So go in the box, 111 degrees. Or you could do Dubai if you want to go to 120.
Yeah.
But they also do cold climates, I guess. So if you wanted to feel what like a cold, clammy rainstorm in New York City would be, you would go in the box, and I guess I assume it would pour rain on you.
So they just have a dial on there. So, okay, dial up like dry heat.
There's a digital screen. No, you pick the city you're going to.
Okay.
And it, in real time, it duplicates what the weather conditions are in that town.
Oh, so you can know how to dress.
So you would go in, if you were to go into the New York one, I'm assuming it would rain on you and smell like pee.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm thinking. So, maybe eventually they'll put this next to like a clothing store. Yeah, so you could buy a raincoat or an umbrella or something.
Yeah, all right. That's silly. It just really is silly.
It does seem kind of fun, though.
Yeah. You know what else is silly? If you ever travel to Japan, they're always trying crazy stuff there, aren't they?
And they seem dissatisfied with the way things are. Like, if you were to complain about, I don't know, what if you were to take a guess, what would be the world's leading complaint about cheeseburgers?
I don't know. They're
I don't have any.
They're
complaints.
Greasy. They're fatty. They're terrible for you. There's cholesterol.
Oh, tell the girl to be quiet. Okay.
Yeah, they're delicious.
The men are talking. The men are talking about
talk about Killjoy.
Cheeseburgers are the world's most perfect food. All right. The problem the Japanese have found is that they're not colorful enough.
Oh.
That is why Burger King is debuting the Aka Burger. Aka meaning red in Japanese, so it is a bright red cheeseburger.
Wow.
Ew.
It's red. You have two choices, the Aka Samurai Beef Burger or the Aka Samurai Chicken Burger.
Yeah.
Both sandwiches featuring bright red buns and super weirdly some sort of odd red cheese as well.
That sounds disgusting.
And they're selling this where?
This is in Japan.
Is it at a fast food joint? Or?
It's at Burger King.
It's at Burger King.
Burger King in Japan. Tomato powder makes the bun red, and it also comes with a spicy red hot sauce made from hot peppers and miso.
Oh, look, I'm looking at it right now. Here's the Wall Street Journal article about it.
There it is. Yeah, it's a red cheeseburger.
And it's got some kind of... So a chicken version of it, too.
Yes, also. Yeah, we could not have had this in the 50s because it's red.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a picture of the. Oh, remember
communist.
we had a black burger from Burger King not too long ago.
Right. They had black hamburgers and they made them black with squid ink.
Oh yeah, and that stuff's tasty
because Japan.
Yeah, cheese sauce and it had like deep fried eggplant and all that kind of stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, where are you at now, Brooke? You're in, aren't you?
No.
Right? Come on.
No.
Not gonna do it.
Well, you're sure like full vegetarian, aren't you?
I was gonna say, if they come up with some sort of purple veggie burger, you're gonna be all about it.
See, purple's no good either.
Why not? It's like with ube. They can have that in there, right? Mm. The purple ube paste.
I'm more open to that.
Are you?
Yeah, sure.
So what kind of meat product would get you to fall off the wagon?
Chicken wings.
Yeah?
I love chicken wings.
Now what if they were what if they were red?
Well, teriyaki sauce and hot and spicy, they're kind of red.
That's it. What? B-dubs after the show. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Very good. Hey, by the way, it's a little science, well, not science, but fact here for you. The tallest statue in America is, what do you think? Tallest statue.
Well, the lady.
Statue of Liberty, of course.
Statue of Liberty, okay, all right.
151 feet tall, not counting the pedestal. So tall,
you ever been up
tall.
There? I've never done that. Have you done that?
No, every time I've been, it's been closed.
Yeah, that's renovations. Right. Always renovating her.
Yeah. The do you know what the second tallest statue in America
there
is?
There is no other statue in America.
Rocky on the steps of the Art Museum in Philadelphia.
Oh, good call.
No. Yeah, go feet, right? South from Philadelphia and a little farther east to Florida, where everything is bizarre. The second tallest statue, it's 110 feet tall in comparison to the Statue of Liberty, and it is a statue of a Pegasus fighting a dragon outside a horse racing track.
Oh, yeah, that. I love that.
Yeah. I think I would just like to take a selfie in front of a Pegasus fighting a dragon.
I want to ride the Pegasus fighting a dragon.
Yeah. Oh, my.
I had a bad dream about that the other night, actually.
Yeah. All right. All right. Check your smartphone. What kind of smartphone do you have? If you have a particular type of smartphone, you could be very vulnerable to hackers. And can you trust your junk on the cloud? Our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for that. And it's time to talk tech. Joining us live is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, gang. How are you?
Doing great. Even better now that you're here. Now, I have in my hand a Samsung Galaxy S4. I'm holding off until the very last moment to upgrade to whatever the latest S version is. The S6 Edge, I guess, is the one that we're looking at now. But by the time I'm ready to pull the trigger, they might be to the all the way to the S7 or the S8. Who knows? But just the same, it's a Samsung Galaxy. There's some vulnerability to talk about when it comes to Galaxy. Is it phones or tablets?
Yeah, this is a kind of a nasty one. It applies to both 600 million Samsung Galaxy devices that are out there have a flaw in the way that the keyboard, the Swift keyboard, is actually attached to the operating system.
Ooh.
So due to the nature of this one, because the keyboard can be used anywhere on the phone in the operating system, it can access everything. GPS, camera, microphone, your photos, your text messages. It can install apps and even allow somebody to remotely eavesdrop on calls.
Do they enter organically without me doing anything?
Well, there is a particular way that it has to be attacked. And so you have to be connected to a Wi-Fi network that somebody else is connected to that is specifically trying to target your types of devices. So there has to be some specific circumstances. You're not going to just happen from home as you're using the internet. But say you're in a conference center or an airport, where there's large concentrations of people, somebody could put up a nefarious access point, have people connect to it, offering free internet, and be attacking phones and installing this stuff.
So the rule is just avoid free public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, definitely know what you're connecting to, certainly until the update for this has been released. As you probably know, one of the problems with Android and the way that the versions are upgraded is that the manufacturers have to actually work with the software. Then they give them to the carrier. The carriers tweak it and add their stuff and make sure that it works on their networks before the users are finally able to install it, which is obviously very different than Apple's approach, which installs directly to all the devices.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Hey, speaking of Apple, did they make any progress with that crazy iPhone hack from a couple of weeks ago?
They have actually not released a patch for that, but it is supposedly coming, and when it is, we'll let folks know about it.
Yeah. All right. Now, if you are on the AT&T network and you thought you were paying for some really fast internet, chances are you've been throttled, and that can't feel good.
That, no, I'm sure it doesn't. This is actually in the largest case, the largest fine from the Federal Communications Commission. They've actually levied a $100 million fine on AT&T for throttling those unlimited data plans.
And what is that again, throttling?
What would happen is after a user exceeded a certain monthly allotment, their data rates would be slowed down significantly so that they weren't continuing to affect everybody else on the network. And so, of course, this is a big problem. The net neutrality rules just went into effect this week, which, of course, prevents broadband providers from slowing down or blocking different types of traffic. So huge fine for AT&T, and Sprint actually responded by announcing that they have ended the practice of throttling their users.
That was one of the original selling points that AT&T rolled out to iPhone people.
That's right.
Because,
absolutely.
You started on, if you had one of the original iPhones, you had to be on AT&T, and they always told you, oh, unlimited, you know, downloads or whatever, and it was not really true.
Yep, and it's grandfathered, so the people that have held on to those data plans have been paying for unlimited since, you know, 2007. They obviously don't offer these plans anymore. Yeah. So I still have my unlimited data plan.
Yeah,
I pay through the nose for it, but I can't make any changes because I don't want to switch over to a throttle or a metered data plan. I have to worry about whether I'm exceeding my monthly allotment and how much extra that's going to cost.
Yeah. By the way, mine went. We've got a family plan of 4 gigs a month of data, and we used to have an unlimited, but they said, okay, you can pay half that amount, and we'll give you 6 because you're using four and a half to five per month. We'll give you 6 for less than what you're paying now. Because I'm on the Verizon thing, and it seems like every time I call them, they give me something more for less. And so I got this email that said, hey, you've got 6 gigs. How about 10 gigs a month, and it won't cost you anymore? And I said, okay. And so now I've got 10 gigs a month, and it's the same I was paying for 6 gigs a month. And so what's the logic behind that? I don't understand where the business model is, where you just keep giving away more of the shop for the same amount of money.
So you don't go away.
So you don't go to one of the other carriers. Sprint has been very aggressive. I think it's Sprint has been very aggressive on their offers, trying to poach users from AT&T and from Verizon, where they'll essentially offer to, you know, pay your termination fees, match your plan, and get you over there. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all to see them making at least some sort of efforts to try and keep you around. As customers are the most important part to these people.
Yeah, and you know what? Everything I buy, it seems, has some kind of cloud account attached to it. So you buy this, and now, hey, I've got 10 gigs or 100 gigs of free space on the cloud in this account. I mean, there's the Amazon, there's the Google. I mean, there are all sorts of them. I can't keep track of how many cloud accounts I have now. I'm not sure I'm using them all to the extent that I probably should. But one has to wonder, when I'm saving my valuable photos and other files on the cloud, are they truly safe up there? Can I trust the cloud?
Well, to a certain extent, sure. And as we've seen and we continue to talk about nearly on a weekly basis, there are security vulnerabilities and people do get hacked and so forth. So it's an ongoing issue. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has been putting out an annual report talking about companies' privacy practices and how they operate. And Apple, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Yahoo, Dropbox, and Twitter this year on the annual report are getting high marks in every category. And that means that they're publishing transparency reports, they're requiring warrants for access to content and data, and they publish law enforcement guidelines and other things that obviously make them good corporate citizens when we're talking about your private data. But as I'm sure you can imagine, there are some other companies that don't rank quite as good. AT&T, Comcast, both of them don't explicitly require a warrant to access your content. And along with Verizon, they don't even tell you when government requests your data. So you have got even no idea.
Wow.
But only Snapchat is even worse. They only publish a law enforcement guideline. They don't require a warrant. They don't notify users and, of course, aren't spending any money fighting in courts or in Congress for privacy issues. So they're getting the worst ranks of all.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like you're being underhanded anyway when you use Snapchat. So, you know, so why
nothing good ever happens on Snapchat.
Exactly.
Ever.
So why don't they just treat you that way because they know you're up to no good?
Could be. I've actually never used Snapchat myself, so.
Yeah, well, it's probably good because you don't want to you don't want to show up on some federal list.
Right.
See, everybody's searching right now for Jeremy's wiener.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No, well,
sorry.
I promise you won't be able to find that, buddy.
No. He knows what he's doing. All right, Jeremy, thanks as always. Keep it locked up tight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Holy crow. Hey, the top 11 Father's Day gifts ranked by how much dad actually wants them. You want to hear this?
Yes.
You'll have to wait. It's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Punch.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, since you haven't bought your dad a gift for Father's Day yet, what is it, like 4 days from now?
For shame.
We can bail you out, even though we really shouldn't, because it just enables your slacking. But no, Brooke, you've already purchased it and shipped off your gift
for
dad, right?
It's in the mail.
All right. Let's see how you did. Here are the 11 of the most common Father's Day gifts and the percentage of dads who say they actually want them.
Well, wait a minute. What do you want, Phil?
As
a dad, what do you want for Father's Day? Because I'm always in a quandary at this. I mean,
I don't know. I like gadgets. I like things to like maybe something for my studio at home or so. But truly, really, all I want is a nice meal with the family. I mean, that would just make me happy.
Well, you're getting a grill.
Yeah, you know what? That's right. I was talking about that off the air. There's a grill on the way.
A big old daddy grill.
Yeah, I've never had a real grill. I've always had those like $15
charcoal.
Those little Weber hibachi.
You know, you
thingy.
Go to the thrifty mart and you buy one of those off the where you can't reach. You get the guy to come get it because
Phil's getting a grill.
It's attached to the ceiling with string. Yeah, and
now,
that whole
now
thing.
Now you're like a grown. You're going to be a grown up
like
with
a real dad.
Grill.
Yeah,
everything.
I got to learn how to use propane without blowing up the house. All right, so here are the 11, okay? And again, it's the top 11 Father's Day gifts ranked by how much dad actually wants them. And so the lower the percentage, the fewer dads actually want.
So these are things they get compared to how much they
actually. For instance, number 11 is a tie.
Right.
Yeah.
All right? People get dad a tie all the time. Well, I don't mind ties. I have lots of ties. I like getting ties, frankly, because I have to wear ties to the hockey games. But 7% of dads like ties.
Wow.
Okay. That's it.
Seven. That's at the bottom.
7%. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Jewelry or accessories?
Jewelry?
Yeah. You know, like a nose ring. 9%.
Hoop earrings? What?
Yeah. Hoop earrings. You know, or a watch. 9%. Okay. Okay. Sports equipment or memorabilia? 28%. Cooking equipment like a grill or a smoker?
There you go.
Well, I don't know. I'm getting a grill. 28%.
28%. All right. You're getting there.
I'm thrilled to be having a grill. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a wow.
Your lights are all sparkly.
Always wanted a grill, and now there's a grill. Tools. I'm all in for the tools. I like tools. 31%, though, of dads appreciate tools.
Only 31%. A
handmade card.
Yeah,
I'm.
That's dad's lying.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe 32%. Although my girls are pretty expert at handmade cards. They look like they were made by a machine.
Oh.
Pictures of their children or grandchildren. Here, Dad, here's a picture. 34%.
Only 34%.
I don't know. I can Google you and find the picture. Okay.
Google your grandchildren.
A home cooked meal. Only 36%.
What do you guys want?
I don't know.
God.
I like the home cooked meal. A gift card. 37. Okay, fine. You give me a gift card to the home improvement store. I'm happy.
The liquor store. Liquor store.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
Yeah.
Best Buy. House
electronics
Best Buy.
And gadgets. Okay.
There it is.
I'm right. Good. I like that. Only 37% though.
Oh, you guys.
The number one thing. 57% of dads say they want this. 57%. A day with the family. That's the number one thing.
Lies.
Lies. Well, yeah.
So like, what they mean is
it's only 57% though.
Without the family.
Yeah.
They got it. They wrote it down backwards.
Yeah.
A day without the family. That's
and,
what
and you can get into a restaurant. Mother's Day, forget about it. But Father's Day,
true.
You can get into a restaurant and get a good meal.
Mother's Day, that's all about the brunch on Mother's Day. Yeah. Father's Day, they want the grill. They want the barbecue.
Yeah, they're out there cooking.
Yeah. But then, you know, you can get a bad server and then everything goes south. But, you know, we talked about on the program before the whole idea of removing the concept of tipping your wait staff, your server.
That's a leap of faith, isn't it?
Yeah. And are restaurants doing this?
Well, apparently it's a growing trend, but I do think it's something that more restaurants are becoming more and more curious about, and they might be even more so after they find out how successful this is becoming for Bar Marco. This is a restaurant in Pennsylvania owned and operated by Bobby Fry. He is actually a former Wall Street broker. He's an old Wall Street guy, financial guy. So he has a little way with numbers, I would imagine. Anyway, so this was his concept, and he started this beginning of April 1st. And so far, so good, according to him.
He's making more money?
Yeah, across the board. Everybody's really happy.
How do you keep the waiters and waitresses, or wait staff, whatever you want to call them these days, by politically correct, I say, the people that bring the food to your table and smile at you and then take the bill later, or take your cash and your credit card later. Now, how do you keep them incentivized to provide good service?
He's hooking them up. He's hooking them up with a real yearly salary, a baseline of $35,000 plus health care, plus paid vacation, which is unheard of in the industry, and 500 shares in the company. So they are also literally invested in this place where
and
they
are
spending
their time. And you don't want the shares, stock to tank, so you work your best to make the company more valuable.
It keeps working hard. And there's bonuses. Bonuses are also given out, and apparently they have done so well in the past 2 months, or I guess month and a half at this point, that they are on track for some people to be earning $48,000 to $51,000 this year.
Wow.
Which is fantastic.
Do they get free meals, too, or do they have to wait for the old lady to leave half of her rack of lamb on the
right.
plate?
You know? Anybody in the room ever waited?
I have, yes.
Have you?
Because I haven't, but I know people who have. My kid has. And so, yeah, when I heard about this, like, no tips, I was like,
I know, me too. I was like, what do you mean?
Right. But it actually sounds like a halfway decent deal.
Yeah.
Well, he says, and I love this, he says, you cannot tell, this is a quote, you cannot tell me that your business model relies on paying people below the poverty line. You got to have more pride in your business than that. And it sounds like he's paying
good
his
for
salary.
Him.
And it's not just a menial $20,000 salary.
Yeah.
It's
Do we know if the food's any good?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm just going to say yes. Yes, of course it is.
All right.
Of course it is. What do you think? It tastes like wax?
Good, maybe.
Yeah. A cryptic reference to a story that you've been waiting all day to tell me about.
This is like a non-story, but it's pretty funny. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger had an opportunity because they're doing another Terminator movie, right?
Yeah.
So they put him in the makeup. He did the whole makeup for the new Terminator, and they took him to the wax museum, Trousseau's on Hollywood Boulevard.
Madame Trousseau's.
Yeah, and had him stand where the wax figure would be, and people are coming up and posing with him.
Yeah.
And like halfway through the pose, he starts moving and talking to him, and they freak out.
Oh, man.
And it's really – usually I don't buy into this internet video stuff, but this is – it's a pretty funny video. So they've got he's walking around Hollywood Boulevard or out in front of the Chinese and stuff.
Yeah.
And he runs into the guy that's the Terminator.
Uh-huh.
He starts hassling him. He walks up to another guy in a truck. He's like, get out. People are trying to cross the street. Come with me if you want to live.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's quite funny. He's walking around with a selfie stick.
Yeah.
Did you put it on the fun page?
Oh, you know what? We gave the video to the web munchkins.
Munchkins.
And,
okay,
oh, right. Yes, there it is. It's on the show fun page.
Okay, yeah.
There's the video.
Hit the fun page because it's actually a pretty funny watch.
Yeah, love that. Okay. Two teenagers got attacked by sharks in North Carolina last weekend. So everyone's freaking out there. But on average, sharks only kill one person a year in the United States. And the same goes for other scary animals like bears and alligators. But would you like to know the 7 animals that are most likely to kill you this summer?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fine. Because there are a bunch of them.
I'm pretty sure it's my fish.
No.
Oh.
All right. No? We have seven, though. We'll start at number seven and work our way up because the number one will surprise you.
Can we guess at any, like, the like, animals that will kill us? Most likely to kill us.
Yeah. Okay.
Animal.
Yeah.
Like, if we're even in the seven. Brooke, do you have any idea? Do you have?
I'm not really around too many animals that seem, you know, particularly homicidal.
Bears. Bears, definitely.
Are you
bears.
Around a lot of bears?
Bears, mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm looking at the top seven, and bears are not on the list.
Bears are not in there. Dog.
No.
Dog.
No, dog. Dog. Well, dog is on the list, so stop
dog
there.
Dog is on the list.
I don't
all
want
right.
you to destroy the list, but let's
all
start
right.
at number
okay.
seven.
All right, let's go.
And why didn't you say venomous snakes and lizards?
Oh.
Like Gila monsters, right? Are Gila monsters venomous? Though they got a big mouth.
I'm going to say yes.
They're very unpleasant looking.
They are.
Six people a year die. Remember, wow. one per year by sharks, and they have the whole Shark Week on TV.
Right.
But six per year, snakes and lizards. Seven people per year, spiders.
Oh, well, duh. Yeah.
Non-venomous arthropods are number five. That means mosquitoes that carry diseases.
Right.
They kill nine people a year. Cows.
What?
Kill 20.
Yes.
Fall on people.
20 people a year, mostly ranchers.
They go typical.
I hate cows. Yeah.
All right.
You hate cows?
I hate cows.
Dogs kill 28 people every year.
There you go.
Bees, wasps, and hornets, on average, kill 58 people a year. This is in the United States.
Yep, those guys.
Yeah, right. Yep. And a lot of times, it's the people that get stung by bees that have an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
And then they asphyxiate.
Kaboom.
Yeah. And any guess? 200 people die each year because of this scary animal.
Scorpion.
No.
Scary animal?
It is,
or are you trying to mislead
it? It is so frightening.
It alligator.
Is really frightening.
Because when you see it, you have a heart attack or you know.
It's the alligator, isn't it? Florida.
No, it's not.
No.
It's the deer.
Oh, car
200
crashes?
People die each year by hitting them with their car.
So damn the, you, Bambi.
The last thing, I mean, imagine the last thing you say or see or do when you see that deer when you're coming around the corner and it's the deer in the headlights.
Oh.
And you have no time to stop.
And you're like, oh, ah.
And so you probably die of a heart attack before you actually get into your heinous car accident.
Yeah, I know several, a couple of guys that have nearly died, deer through the windshield.
Mm.
It's gnarly. It's not good.
Man.
No, it's not.
Down with Bambi.
Yeah. By the way,
on that note,
there's a company in Missouri that can take your cowboy boots and turn them into sandals. They carve out a foot part, turn the toe into a flip-flop, and then leave the leather that goes all the way up your leg intact. And you have to provide the boots, plus another $75 for the service and the shipping. So there you go. Cowboy boot sandals for this summer, the hottest rage.
That sounds horrible.
It does. And smelly. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com or go to our Twitter page at FAF Show. We're on Facebook as well, Phil Hewlett and Friends there. If you listen on iTunes, leave a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail on the website. Look for the blue tab. It's free, really. Just you need a mic on your computer and you're good to go. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, who's here in the studio today.
Hey!
And all the other people involved in the program, like the guy who plays this music right here, Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, for Chris Martin, for Brooke, and for Gonzo Gregg. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.